Hello and welcome to the Northwest Hospitality Leadership Podcast. Today's broadcast is brought to you by U.S. Bank. Click the link in the show notes to learn about U.S. Bank's credit card processing program. Thank you for sponsoring this podcast. In part one of this edition, Washington Hospitality Association President and CEO Anthony Antone sits down with Chris Jensen of the Table Group to talk about the book, The Six Types of Working Genius by Patrick Lencioni. The two are joined by Richard Boyles, president of Merite Hotel Management, and Jen Pickett, director of People and Culture of Wenspoke. The group discusses what work brings them joy, what brings frustration, and how knowledge of these areas of genius help them decide how to fill out their teams. We hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Northwest Hospitality Leadership Podcast. We have been going through several books, kind of a lot of the great ones over the last 15 years on how to be a leader and how to lead differently. We're really focused on this because times have changed. The way that our mentors or our parents led is not the way that we're going to be able to lead successfully in today's world. We're trying to talk about leadership concepts and how to move ourselves forward. But today's kind of special because we get to do a brand new book. The Table Group, Patrick Lencioni, released their brand new book, The Working Genius. And the Working Genius concept's been out there for about a year. Chris, I've been hearing Patrick and others talk about it on their podcast, but the book just came out. And so we get to do something that'll be brand new to most of our listeners that they haven't had a chance to read before, which is The Working Genius. Of course, I read through it. I love the concept, but Chris, tell us what led Patrick and the Table Group to work on this concept and release this book.
This was an accidental invention that happened in the middle of COVID, actually. So there was no plan for this book. There was no idea of anywhere on our radar for what turned into the six types of working genius. We were actually all working in the office for the first time doing sessions virtually, which we almost never did ever. And watching Pat in front of a camera just like this do what he does. And one afternoon, he was in a session like this after doing many of them in a row. One of our co-founders, Amy, had just mentioned to Pat, it's so interesting how you are the only one in our firm who do this in this particular way. She was noting some particular thing. And that led to a conversation about them talking about why and some of their differences amongst all of us in the office. And he began to map out what turned into the six types of working genius. That night, he shared with me the rough draft of the model. And I said, oh, that sounds really interesting. And the next morning, I shared it with a client, a CEO, and he immediately reacted emotionally. It unlocked an entire conversation we had been trying to figure out with his leadership team, his executive team. And I shared that back with Pat and the team, and we knew there's something here that we need to explore. And months later, we had an assessment. And a year later, we're launching the book. And so this was one of those accidental COVID inventions that actually emerged, frankly, because of the model. And when we explain the model, I can maybe explain a little bit about how that came to be. But what we realized, the main purpose of it was really twofold. One, from a leadership standpoint, it's an opportunity for us to remove guilt and shame for the things in work we don't really derive a lot of energy from, but need to happen in order for us to get work done. And then the second part to that is, how do I get other people around me who can complement me in some of the essential requirements for getting things done at work that might not be energizing to me? And so it validates the need for teamwork. It validates those particular aspects of the work that all leaders have to do that may not be particularly energizing, and really makes a strong case for one of the questions we've gotten all these years with teamwork, which is, well, how do I know I have a balanced leadership team? And that's essentially what this model came to be.
So what is a working genius? What does that mean? If I have a working genius in a particular area, what is that?
A working genius. So in the framework, we talk about three categories: working genius, a working competency, and a working frustration. And it's not really about strengths and weaknesses. You might have a high level of aptitude in many areas in the working, many of the six areas of the working genius. But a genius means you have this kind of natural enthusiasm and on, and you're, and you derive a lot of energy when you're doing certain things. There are certain things that just seem, that seem to come natural to us. We get a lot of energy from it. We can do it for a long period of time. The more I do it, the more energized I get. We call that your working genius. And when a team gets to benefit from somebody operating in their working genius, they really get the best out of that particular person versus a working frustration, which is something that you might have an aptitude for, but you don't naturally derive a lot of energy from it. In fact, the more you do it, probably the more your energy comes down, the more frustrated, hence the name, you might become over time, the more stressed and anxious. And when people on a team have to interact with you operating in a working frustration for a long period of time, you can actually, they might actually start to feel that frustration, and it starts to bring morale down and the productivity of a team down.
It's interesting because I've taken a lot of different assessments over the years and different ones. And this one, I think, more quickly related to my work versus where on some of the others I had to do a dotted line to my work. So we've got two of our hospitality leaders here today, and I want to hear about what you thought of the book, and when you read it, did it apply to you personally? Did you relate to finding a working genius and getting joy out of a particular topic in your world? Let's start with Jen. Jen, what'd you think of the book, and did it relate to you in your world?
It did. It was really fun to, you know, read the story and have it unfold, and to see what this journey was, this, you know, that, you know, ideally that, you know, what Bull went through, you know, trying to identify what his, putting the finger on his level of pain, what is this pain, and what's the solution to this pain, and listening to him and his team come to this place. And I can relate that to our organization, because we've always said we're like a startup. You know, we started with 12 locations, pretty small team, and we've taken it from 12 to 66 in 6 years. And our team has built, you know, been building quickly, and it's been trial by fire. And this has been the first year of stabilization that we've had. But the journey in getting to where we are right now is like reading this story. And this actually, in getting to identifying the geniuses and the category or the stages, I think can further hone our team. And I'm really excited to introduce this to them.
Richard, what about you in the lodging world? You read the book. Did you like the book? And did you feel like it related to your team and how your team can get stronger?
I will say the book grew on me as I read it. It definitely has a breezy style that's a little different than what I have typically encountered in this type of book. And initially, it made me feel like it wasn't a serious book, frankly. But the deeper I got into it, it became apparent to me why it was written that way. And it is really sort of two books. You know, there's the initial story, and then there's the more serious final 30 or 35 pages, I suppose, which essentially reiterates the messages that are presented in the first part of the book in a more typical management book. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, I did like the way the book was written and found it useful. And I suspect it would be very relatable for many people, the way that it's written. You can kind of find whichever approach you want in this book, right? So I ultimately liked that about the book. In terms of whether it's something that we can use, I certainly think it is. In my organization, we've talked for a long time, and our organization has a 25-year history at this point, you know, with people new and some have been with us for a long time. In any case, I've long talked about having the right people on the bus, and then later about having the right people on the bus in the right seats. The concepts in this book really continue on. They basically name the seats, right? Understanding the right people, that's about people's geniuses, right? It's good now that this helped provide a framework for me to answer that question. Do we have the right people in the right seats on the bus? by having a new way to sort of evaluate what that means. So it ties in with some things that I have long believed and built on those ideas.
I like it. That's good to hear. It's always, I think we all approach reading in different styles differently. So it's always interesting to hear how we get there. Richard, staying with you for a second, were you able to read the book and see some of the working geniuses of like your number two or three or other people on your team and feel like, oh, that's why they do this, or this is why they might frustrate me. Why aren't they thinking like me? Did it help you kind of, did you see some of those situations in reading through the different characters?
Yes and no to a couple different parts of that question, right? I've never really wanted a team that thinks like me. I've recognized the need to have different points of view all along, but it does provide a way to understand more clearly some of the approaches that others take and understand how to make sure we build a complete team, a team that consists of all of the competencies, geniuses, right? Initially geniuses, but make sure we've got competencies in a relatively small executive team so that we can address all of these needs in an effective team. In terms of, you know, looking for these qualities in others on the team, I suspect everybody who reads this book quickly is trying to figure out, you know, what their geniuses are, what their frustrations are, and what their competencies are, and those in their teams around them. Yes, I certainly found myself doing that. And it was presented in such a way that, you know, it's pretty easy and clear. And if you know those around you, you're going to be able to sort that out pretty clearly most of the time, I would say.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And Patrick's got such a great way of, well, like I can call him Patrick. Like I can remember, the author's done such a great job of making this relatable to what we do in the real world. Chris, you know, I read the book and I got really excited by it, but I honestly went, where do I start? I want to take this to my leadership team. I want to take this to folks, but I got to find a mental starting point of where to introduce it or even bring it into my company. Is there a good place if someone reads the book and says, okay, I get the idea of working geniuses and the things that drain my energy. Mm-hmm. Where's a good starting point for for a Jen to take it back to her team and say, let's use this to make us better or better understand each other or move forward.
The best place to start is going to be the Working Genius Assessment. In fact, this was the first book that we've written where we actually put other resources out before the book. Normally, we put out the book first and see what some of the ideas are. But the assessment is what will help each individual leader quickly be able to understand their own working genius. And if I take a step back, and just for the sake of the listeners who haven't read it, there are six types of working genius. And the first genius is the genius of wonder. And all six of these are required to get anything done at work. And this was to your point earlier about it feels so practical related to work. That's because different than other kind of, there's so many different tools out there to understand how you relate to work. We really tried to, at the table group, always focus our content on what's happening in the world of work. And how do we say simple, common sense things that will help enhance leadership, teamwork, and what we call organizational health, the health of an organization, in order to drive performance? This model is exactly what you were mentioning about the right seat in the bus. That was that's the exact analogy we use all the time. And the six seats, for lack of a better word, are the genius of wonder, which is, these are the people who have a natural propensity to really ponder and think about opportunities and needs and how things can be different, right? And so, in fact, that's how this model came about. Is Amy has the genius of wonder, and she was watching Pat do something in a speech, and she was thinking, why does he do that, and why don't other people do that? And that, we don't often think of that as a genius, but all organizations, companies, projects, teams, everything began because somebody sat and thought about, why is this the way it is and how could it be different? And so from an organizational standpoint, that starts with employees and thinking about the employee experience and what our employees thinking, our customers, our products, our services, all of these things start with somebody has to ponder and think about opportunities that we could go after or we could address. Now, what they offer, what they need is somebody with the genius of invention, which are people who have this kind of innate ability to come up with ideas, right? Patrick Lencioni, he's got this genius. I mean, he will come up not only with books, but he'll be at his son's lacrosse games coming up with New Jersey logos at the same time. So this is the nature of the genius of invention, is there's this constant desire to, from scratch, really innovate and come up with novel ideas, things that didn't exist before. But not all ideas are equal, which is why people with the genius of invention need people with the genius of discernment, who have a natural ability to evaluate ideas and evaluate opportunities and really be able to discriminate between worthwhile opportunities or ideas and ones that might be a waste of time. The challenge with the genius of discernment is they're usually leveraging intuition or gut instinct. It's not something that's necessarily coming from a spreadsheet or a data. These are people who have a natural ability to discern. And so often we'll describe a leader as, gosh, that particular leader seems wise, or they have good judgment. That's the genius of discernment in action. And what they need is people who have the genius of galvanizing. There's some leaders who have a natural aptitude to get people excited about things and motivate people and create a little initial organization. Some leaders do not have this. They're not energized. They wish they could just say something and everyone would just do it. And so leaders who don't have this, they benefit from leveraging other people in the team who seem to have a natural gift or ability to get people excited and motivated about things. Not every leader has that. Those leaders who have galvanizing, what they need are people who are willing to volunteer and sign up. And that's the genius of enablement. We don't often think of enablement as a genius, but nothing gets done unless somebody is passionate and willing to say, hey, I want to sign up for that. I want to help. I want to do that. If that's something the organization needs, I'm all in. And they have total humility and an eagerness to support. That's a critical component of getting anything done, is the willingness to do some of the work. And so what they offer in terms of effort, what they need is that final genius, which is the genius of tenacity, which is those leaders who are great at saying, okay, now we know we've got something and there's some initial movement. Now let's start putting some milestones and plans and support around this and structure to make sure this gets all the way through to the end and we see the result. So the first thing a person should do if they want to figure out, well, what's my working genius? Well, one, it's so simple, you might be able to recognize it right away. We were talking about this even in the prep call. You know, we were all identifying our working geniuses, but the assessment is such a great starting point, because within about 6 minutes, you'll take the assessment, you know, it'll actually just tell you, based on the assessment, here's what we think your working genius is. And it'll walk you through a qualitative component if you disagree with it, but that's the best starting point.
And we are going to put the, where you can get the assessment in the podcast notes. So if wherever you downloaded the podcast today, look in the podcast notes, you'll see a link to take you to the assessment and get that done if you want to do that. So of course you take these kind of things and you read about how to do them, Jen, you know, then the first thing people want to know is, well, what were you? So what were one of your geniuses? And then how did that connect to how you get joy out of work when you were thinking about it?
I've always naturally been a problem solver. It's something I enjoy doing. I like creating solutions for people. I don't like to focus on the problem. I automatically try to shift people's thought processes to the positivity. And I like helping people pull their minds out of that negative mindset and change their thought processes. And I also like poking holes in things and until we can get through to an effective and an efficient solution. So I naturally gravitated towards invention and discernment, you know, for my geniuses.
And you probably thought of moments when you're thinking about that where, God, that was a lot of fun for me. That was a part of my day or week or quarter or life that I really enjoyed when I was in that discernment mode of helping people think through the good idea, right?
Absolutely. And it's funny too, because the team is always like, you know, you couldn't pay me enough to do your job, you know, in human resources, you know, and it's like, well, no wonder that's what I like to do, you know?
And that's one of the one of the things we notice about people with the genius of discernment, they actually really love when people ask them their opinion. They love providing, they love being put on the spot. They love providing insight or advice or wisdom. And to your point, it's something they can do all day long and drive a lot of energy from. I know leaders who do not derive any energy from that. They know it's their job. They have to provide advice, but if they have to be on back-to-back phone calls with people asking them questions, what would you do in this situation? And how should I handle this situation? And do you have a good movie recommendation for the weekend? That is all annoying to them, right?
Yeah. And it's really great to get to the end of those conversations. And they're just like, gosh, Jen, thank you just so much for helping me walk through that problem. And I feel so much better. Thank you. And that just makes my entire day.
Totally. That's so great.
We hope you enjoyed this conversation about working geniuses. Look for the second half of this podcast when we discuss working frustrations on November 9th. Thanks for listening.